Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, once again, we're so glad to be with you. And I believe we've been on here preaching this message about that God has given us His Word. And I think it's somewhere around 36 years now that this has been going out. And so once again, we have the opportunity, and we thank the Lord wherever you are all over the world. It seems like that we thank God for you as we get new listeners all the time. And so what we're saying is that the God that created us has spoken to us. And He has spoken to us in no uncertain terms. And He says in the Gospel of John, He says, I have given unto them the people that thou hast given me out of the world. I have given unto them the words that I have given them. And so God has given us His words. And man can pick them up anywhere in the world. They're there in the English translation. It's known as the Authorized King James Bible. And God tells us in many places where the Word of God is. He says the Word of God is powerful. And so the great revivals that have taken place, in fact, every revival has taken place, it's always in connection with the Authorized King James Bible when it comes to the English language. The Bible says, I've honored my word above all my name. And so the Authorized King James Bible has been honored more than all other books that were ever written. And so we thank the Lord. We have it, and that's what our program is all about. And we talk about this, and we show the reasons why that God has pointed to it. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And so this passage of Scripture that we start with, it says today, which also things we speak, and it's found in the book of 1 Corinthians, given us by God to the Word of God in chapter 2, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So these words are not the words of man, the words that man teaches, but the Holy Ghost teaches these words. And they're not simply in the original autographs now. They have a teaching out there today that it's sort of like that they were teaching this during the American Revolution, and they said Franklin belonged to that. What was that cult they had during the American Revolution? God created everything, and then He took off. He had a name for it, and it skips my mind right now. But anyway, deism, that's the word, yes. Thank you, whoever said that. And so they're well, so many seminaries and Bible schools today, they're deist in practice. I mean, it's called deism, and that is God gave the Bible and He took off. Well, that is so contrary to the passages of Scripture from cover to cover. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. We could pile the Scripture verses up to say God is keeping them. For instance, Psalms 12, 6, and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so God said He would preserve His words. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. And we would have those very words today. And yet today, deism is really being taught. Now, they don't call it that, but a lot of seminaries and Bible schools today in evangelical circles are deist when it comes to the Scripture. And they just think God made it and took off, and now we're going to send out these unsaved scholars who are going to try to find what the originals say. Well, they don't know how they're going to find it when they don't even know what they are. But we know what the Word of God is today, and we can be absolutely sure that it's found in the Authorized King James Bible. And so that's what we talk about in this on this program. Now, just as the scribes and Pharisees in Jesus' day, they knew all about Jesus before He ever came. Hundreds of detailed prophecies. Do you know, we're going to be talking about that soon, but in Daniel, actually, it gave the exact year He came. Daniel basically said, Jesus would come 483 years after the order to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And then he gives the second one. He says that then it'd be 49 years till the wall was completed. And then he says it would be 434 years after the wall was completed. So he gives two different numbers that intersect on the day that Jesus walked into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and then it says he would be cut off. That is just one prophecy that was given. And just are the, as there's many prophecies talking about Jesus coming the first time, of course the Bible is loaded with prophecies telling us where the true word of God is. And we give these scripture verses, and so we have the word of God today. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And a strange will they not follow. 200 translations come out, and they last about as long as the advertising lasts, and then they disappear. And millions of dollars have gone into it. You know, we don't have any big program here spending millions of dollars to promote what the King James Bible. Thank God there's people that God raised up that support this program. And some of the churches, I just thought I'd like to mention it. Some of them directly support the radio program. Some of them support the ministry that we have. And I want to thank God for them. But Country Baptist Church directly supports the program. And then People's Baptist support the ministry that we have. And we thank the Lord for them. And then Bible Baptist Temple with Brother Andy Risnacko, he supports the ministry. And so we really thank God for these people that help us all together to continue this ministry, to stand up for the Word of God. But we're going to go on. And then before we continue, though, we'll have our report on science in the Bible that is really always excellent. And Brother Al has just blown in. And he is ready here for action.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good to be able to be here. Didn't think I was going to for a few minutes with the problems on the road. But want to mention people to reminder that you can go online to Where Is God's Word. That's whereisgodsword.com. And at whereisgodsword.com, you can find out more about Bruce. You can find out more about his ministry. You can listen to past programs there. You can link to some of the materials that Bruce has mentioned from time to time. You can find all that at whereisgodsword.com. And looking at something that I find kind of interesting, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 28, the Bible says, after he created Adam, and it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. He told them to be fruitful. He told them to have children, and to basically replenish there means to fill the earth. And we see the same thing echoed in Genesis chapter 9, after the world was destroyed with the flood, and Noah and his family got off from the ark. The Bible says in Genesis 9, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. And here's that again, that replenish the earth, to populate, fill the earth. And if this is a good question, now you ever think about this, if the earth was millions and millions of years old, and the first humans came out, you know, millions of years ago, or at least hundreds of thousands of years ago, where would all the people be? You ever wonder about that? I mean, we've had wars, we've had famines, we've had diseases and things like that. But one thing that's interesting is if you start with the world population beginning with just two people, okay, and you go to where it's at today, the world's population's only doubled 31 and a half times since those first two people. Now, what makes that kind of interesting, and that allows for famines and things like that and different things that would happen and different times it would take. I'm not going to get into all the math on that, but the evolutionists tell us Well, there would have been more than just two people because, you know, humans evolved from some monkey-like creatures. However, as we've stated in this before, geneticists tell us that every human being comes from one man and one woman. So we're going to take that one man, that one woman, and 31.5 times. But that comes out to a population growth rate overall of, I think, less than 2%. Currently, population growth worldwide is about 1.8% per year, which means the world population would double every 39 years. And if you looked at some of these things, that would tell us that the population of the Earth, if we've been here for millions of years, we would be overrun with people. We'd have bodies stacked up to the moon. We'd have bones everywhere. We wouldn't have a place to put them all. But what we can find out from this, and again, I apologize, I'm going through some of this quickly, there's an example of the descendants of Abraham, the Arabs and the Jews. According to the World Book of Knowledge, at this time this was written, there is about, and this is about 2000 and let me see the date here real quick, 2012 or 15, somewhere in there. But anyway, about 200 million Arabs in the world, 18 million Jews. That means since Abraham's time, and this is something that we can calculate without having to guess and everything, since Abraham's time, his descendants through Ishmael and through Isaac, would have doubled roughly 28 times, an average rate about once every 150 years. And we understand, you know, the Jewish people have undergone a lot of severe persecutions during that time and everything. But when we look at this and calculate, this is what it comes down to. We calculate the rate of population growth starting from about 4,500 years ago when we would have had Noah and his family, as I read there in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, where God blessed Noah and his sons and said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. If you looked at that population, for those people to produce the population in the world today, the world's population would have doubled about every 29.5 years to get the current world's population. Or 29.5 times, I'm sorry, that's doubling at a rate of about once every 152 years, which is interesting because, you know, we calculated before that the world's population would have had to have doubled at an average rate of once every 150 years throughout all of history to give us the population we have today, which puts us back to the time of Noah. I had another paper, but unfortunately my computer's not out right now to get to it, but it also works it back to Adam and Eve, going back to the time of creation. And again, the population doubling, the population growth rates, even conservatively speaking, is well within the Bible's time frame, not within the evolutionist time frame. And this underscores the truthfulness of God's command to both Adam and Eve in Genesis 1 or 2, and also his command to Noah in his sons in Genesis chapter 9 to be fruitful, multiply, to, you know, to replenish or fill the earth. It bears out the historical accuracy of the Word of God once more. And again, if the historical accuracy of the Word of God is borne out by looking at the world around us and the population growth, doesn't that seem to make sense that to the spiritual truths of the Bible would also be borne out? This is just one of those things that I believe points to the authenticity of God's Word and the accuracy of it, which should make us believe its spiritual claims that you must be born again.
Well, thank you very much for that excellent report. And by the way, could you tell us when your program is on? Because Brother Al has his own radio program. He's also pastor of church in Richfield, Ohio.
Yeah, we're located in Richfield, Ohio, and we meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And they're right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross. But yeah, we're on every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and then every Sunday night from 11 o'clock at night until midnight. Live program where people call in with questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word.
Thank you very much. And you know, when Brother Al gives these reports, you're not talking about original autographs or a mystical Bible. You're talking about the King James, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that's what I'm getting at. I think these things support the Word of God, the King James Bible, because some of these other, as you point out oftentimes, so much has changed in the other Bibles that it makes people do exactly what the devil said in Genesis chapter 3, yea, hath God said.
That's what it's all about. You know, the devil, that's the first thing he said when he opened his mouth, you know, yea, hath God said. But we thank God that Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And the Bible says the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. How can anything be clearer than that, see? But so we thank God we have it today. And we also, I want to mention this, and we talked about this last week, but last week we were talking about this book that's come out, which Bible would Jesus use? And I don't know, if do you have the phone number there in front of you? Or okay, he doesn't. Well, it's by Mr. McElroy, and you could get that on the internet if you have the internet. But that is a book that every Christian ought to have. I mean, that is a book. And it shows the falsehood that is being taught. When I first began to study this subject, and I determined to read every book, pro and con, which I've been doing for the last 30 years, on this particular subject, and I went to a seminary. I mentioned it before probably, but I talked to the head of the Greek department at this seminary, and I asked him to give me a paper on textual history. So he gave me this paper, and it was criticizing a man named Hills, who was a Princeton. He had a doctorate from Princeton, and he was wrote defending the King James. But the paper came out, and it said what so many seminaries actually teach. It said there's no place in the Bible where it says that God would preserve his words. And well, I had read the New Testament by that time 100 times, and I never remembered anybody teaching me that. But as soon as I read that, I thought all these verses start popping into my head, and I thought, wow, this is wrong. And yet many seminaries would teach it. Now, that is a huge lie. As a, like, God gave the Bible, and then he just sort of abandoned it, and he's left it up to unsaved Unitarians who then put together a text. And we've mentioned this many times before, but these lexicons that are Greek-English dictionaries or Hebrew-English dictionaries, many times they're put out by writers that, by their own statements, deny that Jesus Christ is God. And you know, some of the most famous ones, Strong's Concordance. He was on a committee that openly denied that Jesus Christ was God. And so the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. So if a person is not born again of the Spirit of God, and God has not regenerated them and changed their heart and mind, they will reject the word of God. And even if they would try to understand it, they can't understand it. They can't get it right. They can't understand it. And yet today, evangelical leaders are following the thinking of unsaved people, and they follow themselves into a ditch because they've got to the point where they say, well, we can't, they really don't know what the originals say. Well, they never did know what the originals say. You know, the originals of that God gave Moses, it were busted when he came down off the mount. Remember that? The Ten Commandments were the originals, and Moses threw them on the ground and broke them into pieces. And when Jeremiah wrote his book, God says, well, you bury it in a river, you know, and so that was destroyed. And so God doesn't care about original autographs at all. I mean, maybe some of these professors are interested in that. No. The word of God liveth and abideth forever, and God is just as much interested in preserving his word and getting his word to us. And he did it. Today, 5 billion copies of his words are out there around the world. And he said, I'd honor them more than all than I honor all my name. And Psalm 190 is given to the worship of his words. I heard one person, and I'm telling you, in some of the Bible schools and seminaries, I heard him right in a church say this, and the guy says, I don't worship the Bible, but I worship the God of the Bible. Well, that is not a biblical dichotomy. You can't separate the two, and always, Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me and my words, And this type of thing is mentioned over and over again. Jesus says, if ye abide in me and I abide in you, you shall ask what you will, shall be done unto you. And then there's parallelisms that help you understand the Bible. So later on in the verse, he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, instead of saying, I abide in you, my words abide in you. Jesus lives in us through his words. That's why the Laodicean church, Jesus is outside the church, because they kicked his words out, which is the authorized King James Bible. Now, you know, there's times in churches where people get into fusses. And one time at the first church in Jerusalem, when Jesus was the pastor, they had a squabble among the pastors of the church there because the mother of one of them came up and said to Jesus, could my sons, I believe it was James and John, sit next to you in the kingdom on your right hand and your left? And the other disciples heard about that. They were very much upset about that. And so they had a little church fuss. You know, most church fights, and they really can, people get into it, and they get into it a lot of places, and it's over authority. Who's going to tell who what to do? It's that type of thing. And people, the Bible says, with pride cometh contention. And people want their way because they want to show their authority. And Jesus says, the kings of the earth exert authority over people. For instance, they call themselves great, and the great ones of the earth exert authority. And we call them great because they can exert authority. We call it Napoleon the Great or Alexander the Great. Or, you know, Charlemagne, meaning Charlie the Great, you know. All of them great. Why? Because they had armies that control vast numbers of people. But Jesus said, it shall not be among you. And that's one reason against the papacy. There's no individual on earth that has the right to dictate to anybody's conscience what they should believe or what they should teach. That is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's the vicar of Jesus Christ. He's the substitute. He's Christ on earth. There's no man that's Christ on earth, but the Holy Spirit is Christ on earth. But then Jesus said how it should be among you, and he said, it shall not be among you. You shall not. You know, if you find somebody in the church and people are interested in him being a deacon, or you find somebody that is a servant person that wants to serve. And Jesus gave an example because here he is, the God of this universe, and he's proved who he was by what he did and what he said. He proved by his actions. But he gets down there and he washes the disciples' feet. That was the lowliest job that you could have. A servant was given the job of washing feet. And yet the creator of the universe actually stooped down and washed his disciples' feet. And you know, there's no ritual after this that we should do this in church, but it's an example to us that we should serve one another, and we should take the lowly positions and live a life of service. Who is a great person? Well, a great mother is somebody that serves her husband and children. A great father is somebody that serves his wife and children, takes the position of a servant and serves them. A politician is someone to serve, and Jesus Christ is the servant. He sends the rain to us. He serves us. He sends the sunshine to us. He gives us peace. He serves us by answering our prayers and gives us joy. He serves us finally by paying for all of our sins and dying on the cross. He was punished in our place. No Christian has to be punished. If you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to forgive you and repented of your sins, he has paid for your sins, and you will be part of his forever family. And he will serve you in heaven. He is, and so he is our great example of servitude. What a Savior we have. What a King to follow. And he is the writer of this book, the Word of God, the authorized King James Bible. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.